This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
This is a Radio EcoShock special on fracking. Will the people in Britain learn from the American experience of being fracked by a so-called miracle industry? It's fracking madness. In this Radio EcoShock special, I'm Alex Smith. Damn the climate. Damn the climate. Let's go all out for fossil fuels. That's the word from Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron. He wants to open up vast parts of the United Kingdom for fracking gas, and that's not going over well with the public. Let's check in with Helen Rimmer, energy campaigner for Friends of Earth in the UK. Welcome to Radio EcoShock, Helen.
Hello, thank you.
It's so hard to picture the lovely English countryside and some of its towns maybe turned over to industrial gas wells, trucks and fracking. Why is this happening in England when so many other European countries have banned fracking or at least put a moratorium in place?
Well, it's a very good question. It's a question that we're asking the government. It's very much coming from the government and from our Chancellor in the Treasury, that the big push for fracking. If you actually look at the public, there's a lot of concern about fracking. People are very concerned about the local environmental impact and the climate change impact, and we're seeing a lot of protest wherever fracking is on the horizon. So there's a complete mismatch really in the UK about the government's gung-ho approach to fracking and actually the very real and genuine concerns of local people.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with Helen Rimmer from Friends of Earth in Britain. We're talking about the new Dash for Gas fracking in the UK. Let's zero in on your home countryside in northern England. What is happening there?
Well, the northwest of England has been the focus of the fracking industry over the last few years. The drilling company Quadrilla were the first to start exploratory drilling in the UK. They have fracked one well, which is near a seaside town of Blackpool in Lancashire, and that was back in 2011, and it actually resulted in earth tremors and also damaged the well itself. So from that moment, there hasn't actually been any fracking because the government did introduce a moratorium. But we are seeing now the companies starting to up their operations. Quadrilla will be seeking permission to drill a number of other wells shortly in the new year. And there's a company called iGas who've just started drilling near Salford, which is in Greater Manchester in the northwest. And they're drilling, they say, for coal bed methane. But actually, we've seen the plans, and they do intend to drill for shale gas. At this stage, it is just exploratory. But you know, we know that if it is ever to get to the production stage, they will have to frack those wells, and it will involve hundreds, possibly thousands, of wells in very densely populated areas.
Tell us about the recent protest in Manchester and the wind turbine blade.
Yes, yeah, so the site where iGas are exploring is called Barton Moss, and it's just on the edge of Manchester and the city of Salford. And it's actually on an area that's one of the last remaining green spaces in that part of Greater Manchester. It's quite an industrial area, although this particular site is beautiful. There's a lot of wildlife. It's also important for farming as well. And there's been a protection camp, the Barton Moss Protection Camp, running there now for over a month, which has been attracting a lot of local support, people coming down and bringing food, coming to show support for the people that are camping out there. It's quite an exposed site, so the conditions are pretty windy and cold, but it has had a lot of support from local people. And there have been a couple of eye-catching stunts that local campaigners have carried out, one of which you just mentioned there was the wind turbine. So this was a group called No Dash for Gas, with support from Frack Free Greater Manchester, who are the local group, organised for a wind turbine blade to be dropped off at the site of the iGas exploratory drilling site. And it was just at the entrance there. So it was, you know, very good symbolism to show that we don't need dirty fracking and more fossil fuels. We actually do need to be moving towards more renewable energy like wind. And the UK and the Northwest especially is very windy and also has a huge range of other renewables at our disposal, such as tidal and wave, as well as solar. So it was a really good way to show symbolically that, you know, fossil fuels aren't the right solution. We need to be investing in renewable energy.
Well, it really works as a photo. I've seen, you know, this wind turbine blade is gigantic, must have been brought in on a huge truck and crane. It's really a big idea. Well, Helen, what sort of people are objecting to fracking?
I think that's the strength of the anti-fracking movement in the UK is the diversity of people that are objecting to fracking. You may have heard of the protests in Bolcombe in the summer. This is a village in West Sussex, which is in the southeast of England, near to London and Brighton. And there was very big protest there this summer where the company Quadrilla were test drilling again for shale oil this time. And this attracted national attention, and it really brought the fracking issue, you know, into the national mind and into debate. And if you look at who was involved in that, it was just a real array of different groups and people. There was a very strong opposition from local residents. There was a public survey carried out, which was done by the local parish council, which showed that 86% of the local people were opposed to fracking in the local area. Also, there was groups such as there was a Druids Against Fracking, which is quite which is quite interesting. We had a lot of young people there. There was a protest camp set up over one weekend in the summer holidays, which attracted thousands of young activists. I think it was over 2,000, including a solidarity march where people came from around the country to show their support for the local residents who were campaigning against this. We've seen a lot of farmers speaking out against it. Recently, there's been a Mums Against Fracking just founded. And from all political parties, the Green Party are the only party so far to have an official policy against it. But a lot of local MPs in both Labour and the Conservative parties are opposing fracking. We've seen that in the South East and in the North West. So it's a real diversity of people and groups.
Great to hear. You know, in the United States, private landowners often own the mineral rights underground. Gas companies come in, write a few people a big check, and they get in. They're drilling right in cities, even beside schools and playgrounds. Who gives permission for drilling in the UK?
Well, it's very complicated. It starts with the government who gives out a license, and it's called the 13th onshore licensing round, was the last one. They're about to issue a new licensing round, which will be the 14th licensing round. So once the company gets a license for a block, so for example, Quadrilla has a block that covers many towns and a large part of Lancashire. IGAS have a block that covers parts of Greater Manchester and also a couple in Cheshire. So once they have those blocks for the licenses, they then have to apply to the local council for planning permission. Once they get the planning permission from the local council, they then have to apply for a permit from the Environment Agency, and that's, for example, to deal with the mining waste that is produced. So the government is now, rather than actually trying to tighten up the process and ensure that the regulation is watertight, they keep promising that we have the best regulation in the world, which is pretty laughable if you look at the regulation that we do have. Rather than strengthening that, they're actually trying to make it easier and to streamline and simplify that regulation for the drilling companies. We're hearing very worrying reports that they might be reducing the time that they will decide on these applications down to 2 weeks. Which, you know, makes us very concerned that they will be considering all the evidence in front of them in a very thorough manner. And we're seeing the planning permission side of it with the local authorities becoming much more easier for the drilling companies as well, and the local authorities effectively getting their hands tied in terms of being able to turn any of these applications down. So the government, in its keenness to rush through the fracking industry in the UK, is making the permitting process much easier for the companies.
Now, is it true the Cameron government is trying to buy the support of cash-strapped local governments by offering them £100,000, currently $163,000, for every test well drilled?
Yes, that's right. It's £100,000 per well site. You know, it's something that isn't going to win over the local public. It's been much trumpeted. You know, they're talking a lot about, you know, the community benefits that people can get from the shale gas industry. And this £100,000, it's a very sort of eye-catching figure. But when you think about it, it's not really going to deliver much for local communities, and it's certainly not going to be able to deal with the environmental mess that will be left by the fracking industry. So we're seeing a lot of resistance to the idea that their communities can be bought off by resident groups that are opposing fracking. And we think it actually could backfire in the government's face. I think communities will say, no, we will not be bought off.
Well, we should touch on the economic situation in the UK. The whole country is vastly in debt. Business is slow to bad. Why not grab onto this golden parachute of local gas drilling?
Again, this is one of the main arguments of the fracking industry, is that it will boost local economies and it will bring lots of jobs. But we've been looking at what the claims have been made about the claims that have been made in the US and in Canada about fracking and what it would do to the local economy, and been finding that they've been vastly exaggerated, and that actually, you know, the evidence doesn't back up what the industry has promised. So we think that will be the same here. We accept that, of course, it will bring some jobs if it ever does happen. Any new industry will bring jobs. But we think there are much better alternatives. The renewable energy industry, for example, would provide much greater number of jobs for the amount of money that's been invested, will provide energy security, and will also help to tackle climate change. So we think the fracking being an answer to our economic and energy security problems, you know, argument is simply not strong, and we should be investing in the renewable energy that we have and which can power us into the future.
Helen, I wonder if the average person in the UK realizes what comes next. There can be up to 120 heavy tanker trucks for every well bearing down on local roads. The noise, the pollution, the stink. Do people know what fracking really means?
I think people are starting to wake up to the threat of fracking and how it will affect their local community. But that, I think the awareness at the moment is pretty low. And that's because there's only a handful of exploratory sites at the moment. And as more communities do become under threat, you know, more people will become aware and will see a lot more opposition. But, you know, we're the groups that are fighting the fracking industry are fighting a huge PR machine as well. They've employed some of the best public relations consultants that money can buy. Who promise, you know, put out the promises of thousands of new jobs, and that they're going to lower the price of people's gas and lower their energy bills. So it's a very seductive argument that is being put across by the industry. But we've seen that when residents and communities do start to look at what the impacts could be, for example, like you say, the lorry movements, the air pollution, the impact on house prices, the risk to drinking water, and of course the landscape impacts, they do start to, you know, to understand and understand the threat and the risk that this is placing on the community. And we see opposition groups forming and strong protest in those local areas.
As you mentioned, in Europe and in the United States, when the toxic wastewater from fracking is thrust underground for storage, the geology can become unstable. There have been earthquakes. Aren't people worried about that in the UK?
Yes, I think the earth tremors and earthquakes risk is one of the main concerns from local people. The earth tremors that happened in Blackpool in 2011 were actually caused from the fracking process itself, rather than the dealing with the wastewater, which I think has been part of the cause in some of the examples in the US that I've read about. So in the UK, the companies are proposing to deal with the wastewater by taking it off-site and treating it at a wastewater treatment plant, and then disposing it into the natural water environment, which we're very concerned about, because we are yet to see how they can treat that waste and remove the naturally occurring radioactive materials and the chemicals and the heavy metals that will be in that toxic wastewater. But at the moment, it's not in the public domain, you know, what the companies are planning to do with this, because they say it's commercially sensitive. But yes, the toxic wastewater is a major concern of local people, as is the risk of earth tremors, and especially for those communities living around Lancashire where the earth tremors have already occurred because of the fracking industry.
Has the industry or the government released to the public a list of the toxic and dangerous chemicals being used in fracking?
Well, the Environment Agency, which is our regulator, are saying that they have to disclose what chemicals are used. So Quadrilla, for example, have said what they used at the Priest Hall site, which is the one that they fracked. And they say they will release what they use at the other sites. But, for example, they say they use hydrochloric acid and they use a friction reducer. But they don't say exactly what is in the friction reducer. I think it's FR40 was the one that they used near Blackpool. with IGAS, again, they've issued a list of chemicals which may be used, or the chemicals will include. So it's not conclusive, and we're asking for that conclusive list of chemicals that will be used. But they're admitting that they will be using hazardous chemicals. IGAS have said that at their site in Barton Moss, which is the one near Greater Manchester where there currently are protests. They have said they will be using toxic chemicals there.
Helen Rimmer, we've just received new science from Australia showing the Earth is headed towards a 4-degree rise C in temperature within this century if we continue to burn more fossil fuels. How can the British government ignore the warnings of top British institutes, you know, the Hadley Centre and others, and the scientists, and go full tilt with more fossil fuels?
Well, we think it's absolutely shocking that the government is ignoring all the warning signs about climate change and heading for this new dash for gas and embracing fracking, because it's completely incompatible with our climate change targets. We actually have a Climate Change Act in the UK. We have a law which means we are legally bound to reduce our emissions by 80% by 2050. As part of that, we have carbon budgets, which we set every few years. We're saying, as the academics, the Tyndall Centre, which is based at the University of Manchester, is saying that it's completely incompatible with our legal targets on climate change. We know that there are alternatives. There are alternatives with renewable energy. We have some of the best resources in Europe, in the UK. So we think it's completely irresponsible of the government. They're ignoring the climate change risks of shale gas, and it's all for what they would see as a short-term benefit in terms of the revenue that they can get from the industry.
Can't we be sure that burning frack gas is better than coal?
Well, again, the academic research there is very split, but at the best we can say that the jury is still out. There's certainly a lot of evidence to say it is as bad as coal, or could be worse than coal, because of the methane leakage. But, you know, regardless of where it is comparative to coal, it is another fossil fuel, and we simply can't afford to be finding new sources of fossil fuels when we already have enough and proven resources that we can, you know, that we can actually use already. There's simply no need to be finding more extreme sources of fossil fuels such as shale gas and coal bed methane.
So what comes next in the UK? What are government and industry planning?
Well, the government is currently consulting on its 14th licensing round for onshore oil and gas drilling, which will potentially open up the country, 60% of the country, to fracking. So this is obviously getting a lot of attention. It's a lot of communities that are in areas which could be licensed are very concerned about this. The licensing round will be sometime this year in the midsummer 2014, we expect. In terms of the current exploratory drilling, the company IGAS will be completing their drilling at the site in Barton Moss near Greater Manchester, and will be applying to frack that site, you know, if they deem that there is enough gas there that it would make economic sense for them, sometime next year. Quadrilla, who so far have been at the forefront of the exploration in the UK, will be concentrating on their Lancashire site, which is in northwest England, where they say they will be seeking to drill and frack 6 new sites this year. So we're expecting the applications for those to be coming in the next couple of months. And also that we think there'll be a lot of activity around the southeast of England. A company called Coastal Oil and Gas is seeking permission to drill for coal bed methane near Dover in Kent. And again, Quadrilla will be drilling or seeking permission to drill and frack in West Sussex in Bolcombe. We've also got an application to drill in a national park in Fernhurst in West Sussex, which is in the southeast of England. So, you know, the response from the local authority to that and the government will be very interesting, because this will be the first site that is within a national park, and these are areas that are nationally protected because of their, you know, their beauty and their importance for the natural environment.
That's the way it starts. That's what we've seen in the United States for sure, that once you get fracking going and big money's being made, everywhere is open. The most protected and loved sites end up with giant wells and trucks all over them. How do you think activists and concerned community members will respond?
Well, we've already seen, even though there's only been a few sites explored so far, we've already seen huge protests. In the summer in Bolcombe, the protests went on for weeks, with hundreds and thousands at times of people there, you know, showing their opposition to fracking. We're seeing now in Barton Moss in Salford, a lot of local opposition and people supporting what's been called a protection camp, a community protection camp, which has been set up outside the drilling site. So we think wherever fracking is on the horizon, we will see very strong local protests, which will be getting a lot of local media attention and helping to raise awareness of the issue nationally as well. We're seeing a lot of MPs, members of parliament and councillors be put under pressure. And the site I mentioned earlier in near Dover in southeast England, that the local MP there, who is a Conservative, had previously been in support of shale gas. In response to the growing local opposition in his area, he's actually done a bit of a U-turn and said, well, no, I wouldn't be happy with fracking here because it puts too much risk on our precious aquifer. So we think there'll be a lot of pressure on politicians. We think there'll be more local protests. We think, you know, eventually the government is going to have to sit up and listen and rethink its dash for gas.
This has been interesting, but we are running out of time. Is there anything you would like to add?
I hope the one thing we have got across is that, you know, the opposition to fracking in the UK is very broad and very diverse. Our media here have tried to portray it as, you know, just the environmentalists and extreme activists who are against this. But actually, you know, this is just normal, ordinary people who are frightened for their communities and don't want this destructive industry, can see through the hype of the government and the fracking companies who are promising all these jobs and the reduction in the fuel bills, and are actually, you know, saying, no, we don't want this here, and we want control over our energy. We want community energy, and we want clean, renewable energy for the future. So, I hope that's a message that's coming through from the UK. We have a government, unfortunately, that is gung-ho for this, but we have communities across the UK who are very much against this, and we'll be fighting together to stop the industry gaining a hold here.
Our guest has been Helen Rimmer, energy campaigner for Friends of Earth UK. Thank you so much, Helen.
Thank you.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.